Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord.
If you wish to follow along, turn to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. I want to read Romans 4, verses 1 through 5. Then I will go back and make a few brief statements or summaries of what I want to try to deal with in particular this morning. And then I will actually go back and try to deal with those actual things in particular. Paul, continuing in this letter, writes these words, "What shall we say then? That Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Amen. Now the few things I wanted to point out are a couple. Well, I'll try to give all of them to you. What shall we then say that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, note the word, as to the flesh hath found? And then he goes on, for, this is a continuation. For if Abraham were justified by, notice he doesn't use the word flesh, though that is certainly true. But now the Spirit of God moves him to use the word works. You see it? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. So note that. And then also note what it says, verse 3, for what saith the Scripture? Note that. For what saith the Scripture?
Amen.
And then note this, Abraham believed God. Do you see it? Abraham believed God. And it, there's a word, and it was counted, there's a word, unto him for, there's another word, righteousness.
Amen.
Now, of course, it is clear, I mean, anyone who has normal understanding and can read the English language, if you would read Romans 4, Romans chapter 4, you would see that the subject here is Abraham and faith. Now, granted, Paul uses an illustration from David in the midst of this, but then he returns right back to Abraham. Paul, so then, is talking about Abraham and faith. Now, much more than that, but Abraham and faith is common. Abraham and faith. Abraham and faith throughout the whole chapter. But here is my title for this morning. It is right to believe God.
Amen.
You hear what it said? It is right to believe God. Now you've heard me quote, you may even heard Tim James say it himself, I don't know, but you've heard me quote Tim James when he has said before, it's okay to believe God. And I like that statement. It's okay to believe God. But it's much more than that. It is right to believe God. Now Paul gives us in this chapter an example. Now not a type. An example of faith.
Yes.
I've often spoken of Abraham and David. I've heard other men speak of Abraham and David and other people in the Scripture and say they were a type of a believer. No, they weren't a type of the believer. We're wrong when we say that.
Yeah.
I include self too. We're wrong when we say that they are believers.
Amen.
They were believers and they died and they went to glory. They're still believers.
Amen.
Yeah. So Paul gives us an example. And he calls him our father Abraham.
Yeah.
And in what sense? The main sense is this. by what Paul says, and I'm not going to read it, the first one, Galatians 3, verse 29. But specifically here in Romans 4, verse 11, he says these words, and he received the sign of circumcision, that is Abraham, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith. Notice that word. A seal of the righteousness of the faith.
Yes, sir.
The righteousness of the faith. A seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe. It's in that sense only. But let me move on. What did Abraham find? What did he find? The word here is found. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? What did he find as pertaining to his flesh? Justification before God? No. No. For if Abraham were justified by works, notice again the change of words. This is important. And again, I stress for our memory, Paul's not just trying to mix up his language as we often do. You write an essay or you just try to use different words rather than saying the same word, you know, over and over. That's not what Paul's doing. This is the Spirit of God Almighty moving Paul to give us exactly what God intends to convey to us in his holy word. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God.
Amen.
Now when Paul then begins to give an answer to this, he's asked some questions. When he begins to give an answer to this thing of justification and righteousness, let us note that all appeals for truth have one source. Scripture. Paul says, for what saith the Scripture? We must not, we dare not, though sometimes we do. But I still, we must not, we dare not appeal to our own opinion. To our own thoughts. And I will go even so far as to say, because of what some of us have heard this morning, we don't even appeal to the creeds of men.
Exactly.
Because they are all faulty.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Most of the time they are convoluted.
Yeah.
Read a lot of these old creeds. Now, not all of them, but read a lot of these old creeds. They'll give you a list of truths, they're calling it, this long, and then put all the different passages. It's like, what applies to what?
Yeah.
You know? They never actually even quote the Scripture, but they give their opinion of the Scripture, then give you a Scripture place trying to back up what they say. This is the Word of God.
Amen.
The Scripture. And the Scripture is absolute in all truth.
Yes, sir.
If a man has told a lie, the Scripture will say exactly what the man said. And inform us that it's a lie.
Yeah.
God never tries to clean things up.
Nope.
Does he?
That's right.
Paul mentioned David and Bathsheba. God never cleaned that up in the Scripture, did he?
Exactly.
Mm-mm. He laid it out for all of its horridness. And all of its unbelief. And all of its blasphemy. And the same thing goes for you and I.
Yes, sir.
What does he say? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath the glory. He can glory, but he will not glory before God.
Amen.
And all of humanity, to some degree or the other, all of us glory in our flesh.
You're right.
And in our works.
You're right.
But it won't cut it before God.
Amen.
So again, all appeals for truth have one source, that is the Scripture. But let me give you this first. Thus, believing God is never. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm saying that believing God is never. Two things at least. There's a lot of things it's not, but believing God for our purpose this morning, believing God is never a flesh effort.
That's right. That's right.
You know what I'm saying? It's never a flesh effort. It's never a flesh work. It's never a flesh act. It's never a flesh labor. Do you see this? You see what the Spirit of God's teaching us here now? Now I would jump ahead. Believing is action.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Believing is action.
Yes, it is.
But it's not flesh action.
Exactly.
It's not flesh action. It's not a flesh work. Believing sometimes is work.
Yeah.
It's work. It's an effort.
Yes, sir.
It's a labor.
Yeah.
But it's never, ever a flesh labor. Secondly, believing God is never of human origination.
Amen.
That is the believing of God that we're reading about here. I'll stress that right now, but I'll try to show us that here in a moment. Believing God is never of human origination. It never has flesh as its source. But that is not to say that the flesh cannot produce a believing. That's not to say that the flesh cannot produce a faith. Correct? What did our Lord say? Now here, there's two things. First, let's establish the foundation of the truth. Our Lord said to Nicodemus, it's recorded by John, we have it in chapter 3, verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is, say it, flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is what?
Spirit.
And it's never a mixing of the two.
Amen.
The flesh don't work with the Spirit, and the Spirit don't work on the flesh.
Right. That's exactly right.
This kind of believing is of God.
Amen.
Solely and wholly. Start to finish.
Amen.
But there is a believing, there is a faith that is a flesh effort. A flesh work, a flesh act, and a flesh labor. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll read what Paul says about it, or mentions it rather, I should say. Then I'll try to give you a couple examples. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. You see, before God Almighty regenerated and converted us, all we understood about ourselves and God and religion and the Bible and the world and every science that there is was all based upon the flesh. Because that's all we had before we were regenerated.
Exactly.
Some things we understood, we may have understood rightly, but we still understood it from the aspect of the flesh. And in some way, we distort everything when we look at it from the flesh.
Yes, sir. That's it.
Wherefore, henceforth, now know we no man after the flesh. We are beginning to know now. Once God regenerates and converts us, we begin to understand what the flesh really is.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, as that song that Joe gave me to read said, you know, you see the evil in yourself and how you abhor it. We don't understand the half of it.
Exactly.
How much more does the Holy God abhor what we are in the flesh?
Yeah. You're right.
Look at what it says. Let me go on. Wherefore, henceforth, now know we no man after the flesh. Yea. Now listen to this amazing statement. Yea. Though we have known Christ after the flesh.
Yeah.
Hmm? Did not Saul of Tarsus probably, I only say probably because there's no direct statement of it. Did not Saul of Tarsus believe that the Messiah was coming? I'm sure he did. Did not the Samaritan woman at the well know that Messiah was coming? But she only knew him. Saul of Tarsus only knew him after the flesh.
Exactly.
And that is of no value. Saul, when he was Saul of Tarsus, was lost.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. The woman at the well, when first confronted by Christ, was lost.
Yes, sir.
And she knew Messiah was coming. You couldn't shake her on that.
Yeah.
But she only knew him after the flesh.
Yeah.
And it didn't cut it.
That's
it didn't cut it. Do you see that? Isn't that amazing? Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we Him no more. So if all you know is Christ after the flesh, you know nothing. It is of no value. That brings up a little bit of a question, doesn't it? How do I know Him? Do I know Him after the flesh? Or do I know Him after the Spirit? Now, isn't that an important question?
Yes, sir.
It's a question that sometimes if I sit and dole upon it and look down here inside, the hairs begin to stand up on the back of my neck. If I begin to take inventory of my actions and my labors and my efforts and my works, fear begins to rack my soul. Because I'm not always sure what's flesh and what's spirit. But let me tell you this. Believing God is always, and we'll give you three things. Believing God is always by divine enablement.
Amen.
That is this believing that Abraham did.
Yes.
You see it? This believing of Him who is said to be the Father of us all, if we are believers, after this manner.
Yes, sir.
James, let me step back up. James says there are two kinds of faith. Living faith, a faith that has action behind with it. It comes from it.
Yes, sir.
Or it is a dead faith. A dead faith. The unregenerate possess only one. A dead faith. The regenerate possess both. A dead faith and a living faith. But both of them look really good right at the first, right together. It's like the difference between a believer falling and someone going into apostasy. They're both a fall. And in the beginning, they look alike. You see what I'm saying? In the beginning, they're both a fall. But one is a believer falling and God lifting them up with His hand.
Amen.
The other is they fall away.
Yeah.
They're not in His hand. But they both look just exactly alike when they start out.
Exactly.
That puts a little fright in this thing.
Yes, sir.
That calls for us to quit presuming on God.
Yeah.
It's by divine enablement, so much so. I'm not going to read it, but you can read it later if you wish. Mark it down, Ephesians 1, specifically verses 19 and 20. Paul says, to believe, this believing here, Romans chapter 4 believing, Ephesians 1, Ephesians 2 believing. It takes the resurrection power of God to bring men and women to believe. Believing is not something that we hear and all of a sudden in ourselves we're nothing but flesh. We're nothing but unregenerate and all of a sudden we decide to believe and then God does something for us. No, sir. If all you've ever done is believe the truth by the flesh, you are still lost.
That's exactly right.
You are still lost. God's got to do something for you in resurrection power first before you will ever believe God in this manner.
Amen.
In this manner. Paul also told the Thessalonians and us as well. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 through 14. It is sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, and that order cannot ever be reversed. You don't believe to get the Spirit to set you apart. You believe because the Spirit sets you apart.
Amen.
And He calls you to believe in the truth by the preaching of the gospel.
Yes, sir.
Believing God is always by divine enablement. Anything you've worked up in yourself, in your flesh, is of no value before God. No matter how good it might look. Now here's a thought before I move to number two. Why is it believing? This scripture, especially the New Testament, is full of what? Faith. Faith. Is it not? Faith. 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 Believing. 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 Is it not? It is just covered with the subject.
Yes, sir.
Why believing? Why not love? Right? Why not love? Why believing? Why not love? Faith is energized by love.
Yes, sir.
This faith we're talking about that Abraham had was a faith that was energized or works by love.
Yes, sir.
Paul said, if any man love not our Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed till the Lord comes. Did he not say that?
Amen.
But it never emphasizes overt love, 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 does it? Now, it emphasizes love.
Yes, sir.
But faith, faith. Why? Because God said so. Because this is what pleased God.
Amen.
Paul made it clear in 1 Corinthians 1. For it pleased God. Now, if it pleased God, that's enough answer for us.
That's right.
Don't try to figure it all out. It's enough answer for us. For it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that what love? Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
But the emphasis on what? Believing.
Amen.
Believing. Hmm. So first, believing God is always by divine enablement. But secondly, believing God is always a gracious gift of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works. What kind of work? Flesh works.
Yeah.
There's a work that happens. It's a work of God.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are His workmanship.
Amen.
Because all we had in the beginning was flesh.
Yeah.
And what you go find as pertaining to the flesh? Nothing.
Amen.
What you going to find when it comes to justification before God by works? What are you going to find? Nothing.
Right.
Nothing. And of course, Philippians chapter 1, verse 29, while the emphasis there is on suffering for the name of Christ, Paul puts it this way, that it was given to us not only to believe on His name, but to suffer for His sake.
Amen.
The emphasis is on the suffering, but he says it's a gift to what? To believe.
Amen.
To believe. Thirdly, believing God is always this. It's wrought by the word of God heard. It's the only way. God's not going to come give you a dream in your sleep. Even when God came to Abraham, God said to Abraham. Is that not what it says? Even when God came to Abraham and said, get up and get out. Right? God said to Abraham. God spoke to Abraham. But we know God lets us know this. I give it to you again. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. And he didn't send angels to do it. Did he? He don't come down himself and do it. Now he has on occasion. And Mac, he can do as he pleases when he wants to. That's his business. But he tells us, concentrate on this. For it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And who does he see in? Men with feet. Human beings.
That's right.
Fallen sons of Adam, that he is redeemed and regenerated and converted, and he sends them to preach. As a matter of fact, he sent his son, and what he first began to do was what? Preach. The book is so clear, it says he opened his mouth and taught the people saved. Well, why not just say he taught the people saved? Ain't that the same? Not really. Because it pleased God when he moves someone to open their mouth and teach the truth of his son. It's wrought by God, by the word heard. As a matter of fact, listen to Hebrews 11. I'm trying to move along, but I know we still have the table. Hebrews 11. By faith, Abraham, when he was called. You see that? Called. How's we called? By the gospel.
Yeah.
The script Paul wrote that God preached the gospel to Abraham.
That's what it says.
That's what it says. Galatians, I think it's chapter 3. Two or three, one or the other. He preached the gospel. I like that, don't you? I like that. He preached the gospel. Okay. You ever had somebody get so vexed with you when you begin to talk about, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works. But it's not of works, but ain't believing an action?
Yep.
Isn't believing active?
Yes.
Doesn't a man actually engage in believing? Yes. So what's the difference? Flesh and spirit. Whether the believing is something you work up within yourself, or whether the believing is something that comes down from God from above.
Amen. That's right.
Yeah. Instilled in your heart, mind, and soul by the preaching of the gospel. Believing is action, but it's never man wrought. Believing is action, but it's never flesh wrought. Not this kind of believing. And here's the thing. I can't prove to you, nor you prove to me, which one we got.
You're right.
And I cannot so teach this in a way that I will convince you today that you got the spirit kind and not the flesh kind only. I can't do it.
Yeah.
I could say I wish I could, but that's just a wish. It's like spitting in the wind.
Yeah.
His spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Only God can teach you which one you got. And if he gives you the second one, the spirit believing, you're still going to have the old flesh believing.
Yeah.
You're still going to have the old flesh believing. So, move on. Let's examine a few details about believing. Number one, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Verse 3. It is his believing. That's the only antecedent. The only thing that you could make that. It is his believing. His believing was counted. Do you see it?
Yeah.
And then what it says, for what saith the scripture, Abraham believed God, and it, his believing, was counted unto him. Do you see it? Was counted unto him. And we stop. What does that mean, counted? We say, well, it means to reckon, to impute. That's true, but that's just other words used to translate this word. The actual meaning of the word counted, and sometimes, imputed, or whatever. The meaning of the word is this, to take an inventory of.
Yes, that's right.
To take an inventory of. And in this case, it is God took an inventory of. You do not inventory what does not exist. There's no need. You see, God is looking at something real in Abraham.